popping, people. It's the special Friday version of the Drew and Mike podcast, which means Charlie the Duff must be in the house.
Oh, jeez, dude.
What happened?
What's up with the fucking air? Can't fucking breathe.
Oh, did somebody blast?
No, it's a blast? Like the central air or something. It's like a sauna in here.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Let me turn it down. What a way to start.
That would have been
nice to think of that beforehand, but oh well.
What do you got, rodents up in there?
Oh, no.
I just heard a darn thing, brother.
It's a central air now.
Happy New Year.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Jay's here. Charlie's here. I'm here. Mark's coming a little later. He had birthday plans that were, for some reason, canceled.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm very curious.
So it's his birthday, and he had a birthday party planned?
Something like that.
And it's canceled.
There were some plans.
And then he's going to come hang in the basement.
Yes.
That guy's got it going on, man.
I know, that doesn't sound promising, does it?
Huh.
Sounds like something's terribly askew. Maybe somebody's ill. I mean, who knows?
Well,
a two-year-old.
Then he should be home.
Well, that's true. We'll find out. We'll inquire until it becomes awkward.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah, you do it.
Okay. Crazy day as Fort Lauderdale. You know, and we're trying to watch to get every iota of information, of which there's very little.
Doesn't stop him from going on about it, does it?
No. And that is, what a challenge that is for the MSNBCs and the Fox News and the CNNs to spend 6-7 consecutive hours on a topic where there's literally zero information, except for the people that call in who are literally on the tarmac with their cell phone.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of, it's still a fluid situation phraseology being thrown around, right?
Yeah. I even heard somebody at some point, might have been Shepard Smith, said, this is one of those rare situations where we're covering a story with virtually no information. So that sort of led me to think, well, why don't they maybe move on to another subject and come back when there is some information? But anybody finding out about it is going to go right to CNN, Fox News, to see what's going on. So then you have to be on it, right?
Yeah, I suppose. But I mean,
I think that's the theory.
What's the total listening audience for the regular news there? Like a couple hundred thousand? You know what I mean? By that point, people know. I mean, it's a couple hours later now, and there's.
I think a lot of people, though, when there's, they know it's breaking news. They know certain people are on it, and they want to sort of get whatever the latest is. Some people like watching the non-coverage too.
Yep, that's how I do it. The endless loop.
Yeah, I watch it because, you know, stuff. There's mistakes. There's literally. Misinformation. It's kind of fun to grade them on how they handle the killing time.
Yeah, I'm watching it on my phone, and you're calling me up going, oh, no, there's a second gunman. I'm like, I don't see it.
There was no second gunman.
Still
there wasn't.
Still a fluid situation.
Yeah. Anyway, 5 were dead, 8 were injured, and
oh, God.
And some guy who was a National Guard had checked his gun, and then when he arrived in Fort Lauderdale, He took his gun out of his, I guess, his luggage. Yeah, you check it and it goes in your luggage. And then he ammoed up in the bathroom, came out and started shooting. Wow. And, of course, there's something online already suggesting that his social media shows some terrorist sympathizing.
Well, isn't it all terrorism, whether it's organized by one or by many?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, wasn't... Shoot, these are like every month, like Orlando, right?
I know. We're becoming so immune to it, aren't we?
Yeah.
Really?
But, you know, I mean, he takes out 50. That's just him, and he makes a call saying, I sympathize with ISIS. But he's not a ISIS foot soldier by any means. You know what I mean? It's whether you kill 20 kids, you plotted to kill 20 children in grade school, or you went into a theater, you planned to do it, you planned to terrorize, or a church in South Carolina. It's terrorism.
That guy in South Carolina is so fucked up. What is wrong with that guy?
Are they going to roast him?
God. I wish. He is representing himself, so the worst possible outcome is very possible with him representing himself, I would say. He's not a real sympathetic character.
I mean, they saw him do it. He admits it.
Yeah.
He's 100% guilty.
Proud of it.
So.
He had to do it, he says.
So put him down.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
See, I'm not against the death penalty. I'll be honest. I mean, I've said it. I'm on the right. I don't even care if it hurts. But you have to be.
I don't really care either.
You have to be 100% sure. And this is a 100% sure case.
For sure. Do they have death penalty in South Carolina?
Yeah, I mean he's.
They do. Oh yeah, they do. That's right. Because he's yeah. That's right. He's at that phase.
Yep. Now the thing is, do they carry them out? California's
got
the biggest
20
death.
Years.
Why? I don't know what South Carolina's like. Doesn't you know?
But you know how stupid is that? That somebody's on death row and they're literally saying, "I want to be killed," and people are throwing appeals up on their behalf.
Fuck.
Such bullshit.
So what are we going to get in this one? Like, let's ban weapons being carried on planes? checked weapons?
Wow. You know,
is that where we're going to go with this?
You know, it's funny with planes. I'm amazed at how many incidents there are on planes with people who are just fucked up. I mean, just like that lady they carried out of the plane. That was a Metro, wasn't it? The chick they carried out, she
was
kind of heavy set. Yeah. And I don't even remember what happened to her, but I can't get over the fact that these people aren't permanently banned. Like, you cause one fuck up with a plane, you do something crazy when the plane's in the sky, and you never fly again.
But you're surprised, like, fucked up people are on the planes?
No, I'm just surprised that there's so many. I mean, I think flying is a privilege, of course, and we're very concerned about a lot of things relating to flying in airports, like what happened today and what's happened with some certain planes and pilots and, you know, hijackers, that, you know, that people would be extra cautious about doing something on a plane that would be, I don't know, either disruptive or, I mean, in any way, shape, or form, even being really wasted.
Well, shit, I mean, this isn't like the 50s where it's exotic and expensive and you get a meal on a plane. They're fucking buses now.
Exactly.
I mean, who do you think you get on a Greyhound? I'm surprised. I don't even want to say it. I'm going to. I'm surprised more shit doesn't happen on a Greyhound.
Yeah. You know, no, I mean, absolutely.
You can't stop this shit.
On, I mean, trains? No, I know.
Somebody could have pulled up to the airport and done the same thing today.
Yeah, there's so many things you can't stop that. I know. I hate to say it, too, but it is kind of surprising. You know, when you look at some of these. The latest thing is, of course, driving a truck into a big group of people in south of France. And then we had it again
Berlin.
In Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What's this coming to? But we can bring this local. The stats are out for Detroit and the murder rate is down.
No, murder's up.
Oh, wait, what happened? Oh, murder's up. Oh, that's right. It is up.
Call it a slight uptick.
But it's nothing like Chicago or anything, right? I mean, Chicago, they got, I mean, as you learned on the Americans.
762 in Chicago.
Okay. Well, we only had, 300?
302, 303.
But
that would make Detroit's homicide rate about 67% higher than Chicago.
Is it really that? Oh, my God. It's that much higher?
Yeah, they got what? 2.7 million yeah. people. We got about
700,000 or less?
650,000, something like that.
So I'm surprised that number isn't, because, you know, all we hear about is Chicago. Oh, my God, Chicago. Look what's going on in Chicago. Nobody talks about Detroit anymore.
We're coming back, baby. There's no room for that we have more murders, period, than Los Angeles, or we've got 12 less than New York.
Yeah, I know. We're close to the New York number. I couldn't believe that. That's incredible.
And don't forget this.
With 650,000 people?
Yeah. And don't forget, and remember, cops are leaving in droves, right?
Yeah.
Saying
they can't recruit new cops either. Did you see that story?
Yeah. So now look at
you blame cops, but I mean, you blame people for not wanting to be a cop?
No, I know them very well. In fact, you know, you're not allowed to pursue a car that takes off on you. You can't give chase. That's policy.
I know. You know, when they were first talking about that, I said, "Oh, come on, you got to be joking." I thought there's no way that will ever be policy for anyone. That's absurd. Why would anyone not take off?
That's why they do. They do take off.
They always took off, but now they really take off.
Take off. They know you're not coming. Now, here's the other thing that's been bothering me forever here. We got something here real novel. I don't know of any other jurisdiction except Flint that even does it. We divide them between criminal homicides and justifiable homicides. Right? In this era of what's justifiable and what's not, Detroit's the only jurisdiction I know of that erased 5% of its murders. They said 15 of these things were just, so the real homicide rate is 318. That's how many people
The original, the actual number given was what, 303 or 305?
Yeah, 302, 303.
Okay.
Okay, so I called Baltimore just because Baltimore, like, similar demographics.
When did you call Baltimore?
I called them the day these numbers came out, maybe.
Which was?
Wednesday?
But you're not working anymore.
I couldn't help it, man.
I love that you called Baltimore and you're not officially working. That's really cool.
I still care.
Still care. Know?
And I called the
crime
reporter at the Baltimore Sun. I go, you know, it's been a while since I called Baltimore, but I'm just noticing you guys have 318, exactly what we have. How do you guys do justifiables? He goes, hold on, let me check the database. I said, database? Fucking newspapers keeping a database of homicides because they take it seriously there. He goes, one. We backed out one, and that's because a four-year-old died in a fire. It turns out it wasn't arson. I said, okay. Okay. So wow. Now, if you do Baltimore, they got about 50 per 100,000. They had Freddie Gray, right? The police stopped policing.
Right.
St. Louis, they have about 50 per 100,000. Both of these things skyrocketed. They had, what's his name, Michael? No, the...
What were you talking about? What city?
He got killed in Ferguson. No.
Oh, Michael Brown?
Michael Brown. So, you know, these are 2014-15. The police are just, fuck it. They throw their hands up there. These are sort of all-time highs for the last couple decades. What happened here? We have a murder rate of 47 per 100,000. I'm told everything's great. It's not great.
No, those numbers aren't great.
No, they're awful.
But hasn't Detroit always played fast and loose with those numbers? I mean, going back to Coleman Young. Not that that makes it okay, but...
Well, I know when I got here in 2008, in 2010, the 2009 numbers came out, and we're down to, like we're saying now, 308. And I go, wow! Wow! Murder rate felt like 25%. Let's have a parade.
Yeah.
Let's hang a banner saying, at least we're not Baltimore, right? Because we're always battling with Baltimore for... And
St. Louis is up there, aren't they usually?
Yeah,
Flint,
Detroit,
contender.
Flint,
New Orleans,
Baltimore, and St. Louis. And we're still there. We're still there. And we didn't have anything go off the hook. So anyway, back in 2010, I'm like, wow, they backed out or called justifiable 65 of these things.
Sheesh.
So when Warren Evans came in and met with Kim Worthy.
Does anyone else do that? I mean,
nobody. Flint does it, but only since Tolbert. Remember him?
Yeah.
The guy that was drawing the murder scene for the kid.
Yes.
Ever since he went there, they started doing it. So it's a nice little Detroit deal that, you know.
It just seems like.
It's not giving a clear.
There'd be a sameness. There'd be one way to do that and only one way.
Especially when we're talking now about, you know, this tale of two cities.
Yeah.
Right, there's nothing good going on out there for the people in the neighborhood. Now, at the same time, what was it, last Friday, over the last long four-day holiday weekend, they released those subpoenas for the federal criminal corruption probe?
Yes.
Like 30 people named in this thing? The mayor's closest confidants?
Mm-hmm.
The mayor said to me that he has to arrange these meetings and set the prices and... I'm like, what a clever piece of work. So the mayor's people are on a criminal investigation. Murder's up. Murder's super high. Come on, man. Some good things are happening in Detroit, but we can't ignore the other side of things. You know what I mean? This is like 19th century London. This is Dickens.
Well, the demolition story on the indictments also got into the numbers for, you know, and when you see them, they're so stark that... Dave Bing era, $8,500 to $10,000 to take a house down. 2014, $16,800 was it? Yeah, $16,800. And then 2016, it's $12,400.
I don't think that number's right. I wouldn't recalculate. I think it's more like $14,000-something.
I would
whatever.
Believe you before I would believe that number. But the starkness of 8,500 to 10,000 to 16,008 down to 12, what the hell's going on?
And how did they stop this thing for a couple of months while they, you know, figured out there was corruption going on and then the city transfers $5 million to another entity to cover the fraud? This is bullshit.
And that crazy stuff going on, too, where they were spending over a certain amount per house, so they split it between... I forgot. What was the monkey business going on there?
You know, there's a there's a federal cap. You can only spend $25,000.
Right.
And one case, the house was $225,000.
Yeah. And
they let them split it up over, like, 70 houses, the overage.
How could one house cost that much, though?
They never even estimated what the price would be.
That scamola reminded me of Kwame getting the lease for the, what was the car?
Navigator.
The Navigator for $24,995 for 1 year because anything over $25,000 had to be approved by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes this horrific lease. I mean, it was a complete ripoff for 1 year just to stay under the $25,000 number. And who knows how many other things were done the same way.
And that was the whole thing that got the ball rolling with Kwame, right?
Yeah, that was a big one.
A $24,995 lease.
Was that Steve Wilson that really...
Yep.
Yeah, he rocked that story.
So what's the difference? This one's hundreds of millions of dollars.
Oh, the difference is this is a lot worse than the Navigator. Absolutely.
You know, and I don't know why...
Not even close.
The media's patsies, man. I mean, I just don't go for it. You got to be in service of the people, you know.
Well, it doesn't seem that anybody's really
working.
It doesn't seem like there's a lot of pressure
being
put on some pretty important people who should be answering some pretty hard questions about that.
Well, I just think the whole damn country's pissed off. Drain the swamp.
Yeah.
You got a swamp right here. Complain about it, man. Getting fucking mauled by the mosquitoes here.
Well, that thing, I don't know. It just seems hard for me to believe that some people aren't going to... I mean, somebody's going down.
Oh,
for
yeah,
that.
For sure. Oh, for sure. Oh, dude, look.
Big time.
I've never seen a subpoena with 30 people. You know, all the close associates of the mayor, the handpicked people of the mayor. Oh, yeah. Oh, some people are going... I don't know if it gets up to him or not, but it's quite possible.
Wouldn't you think some of those people, eventually, they say, well... Why am I trying to spare anybody? I don't give a crap. Isn't that what happens? Eventually, they want to cut themselves a deal, so they figure, I'm not protecting anybody.
That's kind of what I would do.
I mean, that's usually, it's human nature.
I just did what I was told to do. It's the marching orders from the boss.
Right.
And don't forget.
Why would those people, why would they do that? Why would we have rogue people in this program who say, you know what, I don't want to work with a bunch of contractors. Let's just set it up with two or three. I mean, it seems that's got to come from somewhere up there.
Yeah, you know
pretty
what?
High.
You know, I know this is against, well, I should know it's against federal rules, but I'll tell you what. Just bring it in at this number and glue it on the other one, and I'll fix it in the computer. Don't worry about it. I'm just doing that?
After what we just went through?
Right.
To be screwing around with contractors like that is just unfathomable. But, you know, you would think if it was not the guy at the top, that the guy at the top would go, what's going on with this program here? I mean, those numbers, the numbers I just quoted in the paper, anybody could see those numbers and say, I mean, doesn't the mayor get reports on stuff like that where
he sees
how many houses were knocked down, how much it costs per house?
He used to get the reports on Fox, too. So instead of going, hey, what's going on over there, what does the guy do? Again, every time a report shows up, here's some legal bullying. Here's some defamation papers. Like, no, there were no move to stop it. So what did you see in the build up to this? Mayor, like, look at all the lights I got turned back on in Detroit. You had nothing to do with it. The state did that.
Look at all the houses being knocked down. Look at all the lights that are on.
Yeah, look at the apartment building that just opened. Look at the Pistons deal that's not really done.
You look at the new park that we traded for.
Yeah. Look at the groundbreaking that we didn't actually really break any ground on. Look at the dog pound that was donated.
What do you make of, I know you weren't crazy about the deal regarding the Red Wings Arena, but what do you think about the Pistons going downtown?
It's great. Well, it's great.
I mean, it can only be good, I suppose. Right?
You know, look, there's no deal. There are no papers been signed. There's no financing that's been put in place. Did you know that? Did you know that? They haven't even voted on it yet? That's public money. City Council won't even hear it till March.
But they're going to find a way to do that.
Well, they're going to find a way to do it, but it wasn't done.
Right.
The DD, the bonds and the reborrowing and all the fine and all the stuff. None of it, the Red Wings.
Well, what drove the story? Was it just that the Pistons said, you know what, we have a deal with the Ilitch family and we're happy with that, so.
As I read it, they don't have a deal yet. They haven't signed out the agreement to, you know, share the music venues and all that stuff they're going to do.
Yeah, I still.
So why do we come out and say it? Or did the mayor need a nice press conference? So I called the city council, some you know.
But could the mayor, I mean, who did, you know, pardon me, this seems like a stupid question, but who technically made the announcement that it was happening? Wasn't it a joint press conference?
Yeah, Goris, Chris Ilitch, and the mayor.
Right, okay.
And somebody asked the mayor, goes, well, the deal's going to get done, don't worry about that. Says who?
Well, who is going to make this difficult? I would assume everybody's going to want this to happen, and they'll grease the skids. But as far as the arenas and, you know, the concert stuff and splitting, I'm really intrigued by that. I'd love to know how they're working that out. I mean, I don't even know if it's any of my business.
Again.
I mean, if they're happy, they're happy.
But why would the public have to pay for it?
Well,
not everybody's happy about it. People like to have the Pistons come back.
I mean, the original deal, as you have pointed out many times, you thought it was a terrible deal. And clearly somebody wasn't watching the store when it came to, you know, parking and certain revenue streams that the city used to get that for some reason on this deal the city's not getting.
Right.
But as far as shoehorning the Pistons in, you know.
Who could be against it?
Yeah, the Pistons being in that deal doesn't change that other stuff. I mean, that
stuff
was blown.
It does, because now they got to come up with another $35
million. Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, there's more. Yeah, yeah.
From the city.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we going to do that? We're going to refinance the bonds. Well, you're required to do that anyway. You're required to refinance them under the original deal. But interest rates are going up. We don't even know what if we're going to save any money refinancing it. Is anybody asking this shit? We're broke.
It just seems like, how do you make up for, I don't know, I mean, it must work. They're happy. I'm happy. I guess.
Yeah, I'm.
What can I say?
I'm almost wondering how much I got to pay.
Yeah, how much we have to pay.
Yep.
Well, yeah, there's going to be a chunk. There's going to be a chunk of change. For sure. In a little bit, we'll be talking to Christine Brennan, who wrote this piece on Brent Musburger yesterday in USA Today. And she is not happy about the way he handled the Mixon appearance in the Sugar Bowl Oklahoma played in, because Brent was a little too happy for the guy to play on Sunday in the NFL.
Is that the running back for the
Running back who
the Sooners
who punched the girl?
Who was a freshman punched a girl in the face?
Right
when she slapped him when they got a bar brawl. Basically,
you know, you made a good point and. I thought about this at the time, and I just thought, oh, I guess I'm really not allowed to think that. Is it okay for her to just shove him and slap him? Because she did do that before he punched her.
She did.
And he did punch her 1,000 times harder than she shoved him or slapped him. But nonetheless.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
You're so warm.
Happy birthday,
Mr. President.
Mr. President, yes.
Mark!
Mark, you know, when I made the announcement that you were probably coming, I said, yeah, Mark had a birthday celebration that's been canceled, and it sort of like took the room out of the air, like, well, what happened to Mark's birthday celebration?
That's how big it was. It took the room
really?
Out of the air.
Yes. There's no air in the room anymore.
Well, Julie's mom came down to watch Charlotte. We were going to go to a movie and then go out to dinner, and
yeah.
It just didn't happen.
Mom didn't come.
No, she came. it just didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, man, I'm married too.
There's just not enough. There's not enough hours in the day. Is really what it boils down to.
And if I just might say so for real, like, you sleep what 2 inches from your lady? Two. Two. You know everything going on in each other's lives, right?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Pretty good. Pretty good. You go out. You watch a movie. Right. Chat about the movie, and then you sit down to dinner. You two?
Uh-huh.
What's the talk about?
You know what, though? You'd be surprised. We really never... We don't hang out as much as you would think we would. We just don't. I don't know why.
Two-year-old rule.
I think that's why. I think it's because it's all Charlotte's fault.
That's right. It's all Charlotte's fault. But so, Charlotte will be a moving, boogieing, scheduled human being before long.
Hopefully. Can't wait till she gets out of the house.
How old is she?
She'll be three in about a month. Yeah. So,
yeah, happy days are around the corner.
She's sleeping right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Last night she was kind of a pain in the ass. So she woke up a few times and refused to go back to bed. She wakes up, turns on the light, and just starts reading books.
Well, man, you got to let her do that.
No, I know. There's a lot of things you can complain about being a parent. I'm not going to complain about that one.
Yep, exactly.
That's funny. Does she read herself back to sleep?
Sometimes.
No, is she talking to herself while she's reading the books?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's got to be funny. So you hear it on the monitor?
Yep.
What book is she like to read?
She's in love with the Berenstain Bears. And there's a character, this is what's weird, there's a character in the Berenstain Bears named Too Tall. He's in charge of the Too Tall gang.
Uh-huh.
He's the bad boy. He's the ass of the book. He's the one that is the bully.
Oh, okay.
And he is by far and away her favorite character. She role plays and imagines like Too Tall. And she's like, we have to prepare for Too Tall's birthday. I'm like, when's his birthday? She's like, 2 weeks. 2 weeks is his birthday. It's like, all right.
Wait, does he really have a birthday?
No.
Yeah, they canceled it.
Yeah, I know, that's what we do in that house. So, I don't know. It's a wild ride.
Yeah.
What's going on? Any news today?
Oh, just a little shoot up in Fort Lauderdale Airport.
Anybody have the serious issue, shallow thought of if you're going to go shoot up an airport, why do you take like a 14-hour plane flight to do it? Because he flew from Anchorage to Fort Lauderdale.
That's a great point.
Still a fluid situation. It's one of the many unanswered questions here.
Yes.
Well,
just trying to audition for.
That leads me to believe. Do you think? I know they use fluid situation a lot.
Didn't
today.
They? Like, yeah,
they did.
Actually, I think it might have been the guy, the sheriff or whatever down there, said that a bunch of times. But I wondered, he's obviously got post-traumatic stress syndrome, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
The guy, the National Guard guy?
Yeah. He served over in the Middle East. He said he came back. He was different.
No, I was reading something about him being a terrorist sympathizer on his social media page or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was about 5:30. I just happened to bump into that.
Because my question is, with that long of a flight, flights can be kind of rough. Do you think something set him off on the flight, like another passenger?
It's possible.
I think it's very possible.
I don't know. Well, he started shooting around the area where people on his flight were getting their bags,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And what was he carrying a firearm for?
I don't know.
Another question.
I don't know. He's a National Guard guy. Is that common for? I'm not a big gun person, so I never know these questions.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to apply logic to something like that, but.
I don't think of National Guard people as needing to carry guns everywhere. Maybe I'm way off.
Well, you know,
then a weekend things, like a couple weekend a month or something.
I know, and we're just speculating, but I mean, there's a lot of stress placed on the military. You know, remember the guy in Dallas that he did his tours over there too. You know, sort of like terrorist sympathizer. He committed terror, so he's a terrorist as far as. You know, it doesn't matter what's on your social page to me. I know what you did.
Yeah. No, I think it's a great point. Absolutely. You know what? Charlie came over a little early and we watched a bit of the Menendez 2-hour special.
I was in Australia when that went down.
Well, it's funny. I was thinking of you watching it. I finished it up this morning because I knew you were going to be on. I'm like, God, I knew you were in California. I didn't know if you covered any of that.
No, I didn't.
It was early for him. He was. Yeah. We weren't actually doing stuff like that at that time.
But the trial went down in what, 92?
93 and 94. I forgot.
So I was there. Second trial.
I know it all.
Yeah.
But I didn't remember the circumstance because it was 89 when it went down. And
yeah.
It's kind of like the Pistons winning the title.
You know what happened?
Yeah. I've seen the tape. Yeah.
I was marveling at Terry Moran and how.
He's haunted.
I know.
When you see the vein, Papa, you know that's not acting. How does it, you fucking know?
How can you say that? You don't know that. I think maybe he made the vein pop. Maybe he knows how to make a vein pop.
TV.
You know, like my theory, though, that Lyle, which was the one that said he used the toothbrush on the other guy?
Lyle.
Lyle used it
Eric
used
Eric's
it on
the alpha male. So
Eric's the young one, right?
Yeah.
Eric's the older one.
Lyle's the oldest.
He's the alpha.
When you say the Menendez brothers, how do you say it? You say
said it Eric and Lyle.
I always said Eric and Lyle, too.
I thought it was Lyle and Eric.
Wow.
I just call them the boys.
Yeah.
I could say it either
way. 21. I was afraid of daddy. So I didn't want to jump in the Lamborghini and leave.
Exactly. That's what I told Drew. Just
so
leave. If he wants to have sex
obvious.
With you, go.
Yeah.
Did anyone ever say that during the trial? Did the prosecution ever say, why don't you just get in your car and go? Did they have to, I mean, was that ever said?
I have no idea.
I mean, it seems like it'd be a highlight. I mean, I certainly didn't see it in that two-hour special.
Well, but you did see the prosecutor in that two-hour special say that the phrase of the boys kind of bothered her.
Yeah.
Because they weren't boys. They were adults.
Right.
Were
but then she started using it because everybody was using it.
Yeah. That's.
But she was good in there because I don't know if the audience saw it, but like a week, month after the parents were killed, they got the life insurance check and they're out buying fancy
Rolexes
cars and a Rolex. And she says, well, how's it you came to buy the Rolex? He goes, there's going to be a memorial, and the family wanted me to buy a suit. And so you thought the $9,000 18-karat gold Rolex would go good with your funeral suit?
I know. How ridiculous.
What the fuck? See, what the fuck's wrong with L.A. juries? How many have been there? Robert Blake I sat through. He's acquitted. Phil Spector.
That took two trials, didn't it?
It took two trials.
Didn't
O.J.?
Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
O.J.? Those are ones I actually saw.
Didn't Blake have the same lawyer? It wasn't Abrams.
Did she? Leslie Abramson represented Robert Blake?
I thought so.
Blake had the dude with the white hair, the silver hair.
Oh, the cowboy, the Wyoming guy who never loses.
No, it was another. Maybe that was Michael Jackson's guy.
Yeah, that's Michael Jackson's guy with the white hair who never loses. He's really good.
Robert Blake got to wander around, and I used to harass him.
Oh, really?
By the end of it, he's like, get the fuck away from me. I was like, God. I just want to go over one more thing. Was it fettuccine? Get the fuck away from me.
Thomas Mesereau was Jackson's guy.
Yeah, Mesereau was Jackson's guy.
He's good.
Who was Blake's guy?
Mesereau
was good.
Do you think juries just, it's Hollywood, it's just the bright lights of fame?
But the Menendez brothers are the Menendez brothers.
I know, but that was everywhere.
That was famous.
Yeah, true.
I think they take this like reasonable doubt to, because they're so famous and everybody's watching, to such a cockamamie level.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Dad raped me. Okay, that breaks me up, but you fucking murdered your mother too.
Right. And that was so gratuitous when they came up with it. Hey, did you ever sleep with your parents? You sleep with you when you were little. Did you sleep with you when you were little? Oh, yeah, when I was 11. Yeah, no. What anything happened with your mom? Oh, yeah, she asked me to touch her. I touched her all over.
Yeah, when I was coming out of it.
So both parents are molesters? But two molesters married each other? This is the other thing. I want the answers. Somebody who's an expert will email somebody who's in psychiatry or maybe one of you guys know. Someone that has two mistresses, a wife, and screws prostitutes regularly is also a molester of an 8 to 10 year old boy. That doesn't seem like the MO, does it?
Yeah, but remember, like he was 21.
Yeah,
and he admits his dad didn't touch him for years. And also, get upstairs.
Yeah,
he's 21. Get upstairs.
No, yeah, it's
we're gonna no. What do you say? We're gonna have some good sex or something.
Something like
what?
And then they had to kill him. Is that
Jerry Schwartzbach?
That's Blake's guy?
Yeah.
Okay. And so.
What's her name? Lori. What was
Leslie Abramson?
Didn't she represent some other celebrity?
I think she did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's had a few big cases. But the idea that the Melendez brothers, they were going to be killed, so they had to kill them first. Like it's a race to kill each other.
Or like a self defense or.
And they go to a nice gun shop.
Yeah, all the way in San Diego, by the way.
You stop at Coronado, you know what I mean, have the clams. You didn't go to a pawn shop in East L.A. or something?
I know. And the cops don't even look in the car to see they've got the two shotguns in the car. And they never washed their hands after they shot their parents up. They had gunpowder all over themselves. And they never tested them.
So did they not go to the movie theater or did they go to the movie
theater? Yes, they did go to the movie theater.
And then they went out with friends to the bar, right, to strengthen their alibi.
I think so. Yeah, and then they came home, and that's when...
That whole time they didn't wash their hands?
I guess not. They said the cops, had they tested them, they would have had gunpowder on their hands. Wow. That's what they said.
I don't even know if that's admissible.
Gunpowder?
Gunpowder
residue?
On their hands, yeah. Something tells me it isn't.
Huh. I don't know.
Well, if they test them, it is, right?
Something in my...
I thought when if
ass
you
tells me that's a CSI kind of deal.
Oh, well, I don't know. Anyway,
the thing with them that locked it up, though, was the fact that they never told their psychiatrist that they were molested, but they told them all about how they killed mom and dad.
That seems a little odd, doesn't it?
Of course.
And I love the psychiatrist tells his girlfriend.
I know.
What a dick. And of course, they break up, and she goes to the cops. So that was the first, wasn't that the first big thing in the chain, was the psychiatrist's girlfriend telling the cops?
Yeah, that, so they got a warrant.
Right.
Well, Mike.
For the tapes.
Favorite part, like, you're on trial, right? Okay, yep, we lied. Yeah, all right, well, it was us. But he was going to rape me. Okay, here's the phone call.
Oh, here's the phone. You want to hear the phone call?
And then on cue, the brother, like he pointed to him.
Yeah, that scream is so, I mean, just out of nowhere.
Like he's punching his brother in the arm. Like, come on, stupid. No,
he's got a cue card that just says YAAAA.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills is a quiet town. Even the business district pulls up at 7 o'clock. We average 2 murders a year.
2, that's a lot.
You really don't know what you're in for.
I thought so, too.
Murder call.
What's the problem?
Don't kill my parents.
Pardon me?
Don't kill
your parents. What? Who? Are they still there?
Yes.
The people? What?
No.
Were they shot?
Yes.
They were shot?
Yes.
What happened?
There it is.
I
gotta hear that again.
He's got a beer, leans into the phone.
That gratuitous yell is hilarious. What?
He comes back.
What happened? Who is the person that was shot?
My mom and my dad.
Your mom and dad?
My mom and my dad.
Okay, hold on.
Oh, who cries like that? No one cries like that. My mom and my dad.
Second.
That's ridiculous.
Here comes the brother again, though.
Ah!
I want the second one. Wait, you rewind it.
I want to hear the first one again.
No.
Were they shot?
Yes.
They were shot?
Yes.
What happened? Who is the person that was shot?
My mom and dad.
Your mom and dad?
My mom and dad.
Okay, hold on a second.
Do it.
Okay, we're on our way over there with an ambulance.
12 shots in the middle of Beverly Hills on a Sunday.
Chilling. I mean, out of nowhere.
See how much that house is worth today? $14.9 million.
Yeah. What'd you do? Go to Zillow?
Of course. Immediately. As soon as they said 722 North Elm.
Damn.
Looks nice.
It was worth $14 million then, wasn't it?
That was the total estate.
In 08, the house was worth like $5 million. So you could have made a fortune on it if you bought it.
Look at the lovely Bogan Villa.
And also, Nicole Brown Simpson had her baby shower there, I learned today.
Reading about that. Really?
Yeah, the previous owners
who
owned it were friends of the Simpsons. Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh. What does that mean? Nothing. But still.
Crazy.
Tear it down, man. It's like Amityville Horror.
buy it for a bargain.
Jay, how are we doing for time? 40. What time is it? I just need to call Christine.
Yeah,
4 minutes. Oh, 4 minutes?
Yeah.
Christine Brennan.
Mm-hmm. Here's a piece of Arcania. The guy that invented Demolition Derby out in Long Island, Larry Mendelson, bought the Amityville Horror House and then killed himself.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. The guy that invented
Demolition Derby in Riverhead, Long Island, buys the Amityville Horror House, making his thousands off of demolition, and kills himself.
Yeah.
Did the house tell him to? Did he do it in the house, I assume?
In the house.
In the house?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, what's happened in Demolition Derby? Because that was kind of cool, and I never even hear about it now.
It's still around.
Is it around?
Yeah, oh yeah.
They have it at...
The Milan Dragway will do it.
Yeah, they'll do it with buses.
Oh, cool. How awesome. You mean like giant real buses? Like, school buses?
Imagine this. Figure eight.
Yeah.
Okay, they do it with buses.
Oh,
sweet.
Figure eight, wow.
Dude, we should go do it.
You've done it, haven't you?
Dude, well, Mike Clark and I,
that's
we
right.
No, we jumped.
Oh, that's what it was.
We jumped. Weren't we jumping?
A shark?
No, we
shark
might as well have been
numerous times.
Yeah, Wait, we were jumping. We were doing a jump
in a school bus
in the Silverdome, except that the only thing was the plywood. It was a plywood thing we were jumping on, so there was no jumping at all. We were jumping a foreign car, I think. That was the whole shtick, because it was a tractor pull. So, of course, everyone hates foreign cars and tractor pulls. So instead of jumping the car, we just landed on it and crushed it, and the crowd went nuts.
In a bus.
But we knew, in a bus. But we knew the ramp was going to collapse.
But still, it's a little dangerous.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of nuts. And, in fact, Mike Clark was driving the bus, and he completely the car was completely trapped underneath us, and he somehow put the thing in reverse and backed over that Japanese vehicle and got us out of there, but destroyed the hydraulics, and it leaked all over the Silverdome floor.
The fucking crowd must have gone nuts.
The crowd dug it. The crowd went wild. And for some reason, we were wearing Elvis jumpsuits.
That's
I have no idea why.
Does the video exist anywhere?
I think there is a video somewhere. It's probably on VHS. Yeah. It was like 1994.
It might be out there.
That was, I don't know if it'd be online.
Was Chooch working at Riff then?
Yes.
Chooch has been putting videos up of other
things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where's Chooch?
He's out there. He's on the fan page, and he'll post videos every once in a while.
What's he doing now?
I don't know.
I mean, he's an adult and everything. I was thinking of him as being like frozen time. I know. I think of him as being the age when I last knew him, which was like 19.
Yeah. But I think he put a Delbert video up there. He's put a couple other videos up there.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah.
Wow. I have to find out about that.
You think she, you think she saw the Menendez brothers?
Charlie's referring to the Plymouth teen. This is the one who was going to kill her entire family, and she stopped when she stabbed her brother in the neck, I believe. But she's changed. She wants to withdraw her guilty plea.
Today.
Yes, today.
Okay.
Charlie, you speculated?
I think in the joint last night, they were showing the Menendez brothers special. She got an idea and went back to court today.
It's off. The timing is very suspicious.
She's the one that was adopted, right? And her boyfriend's way older than her.
Yes. Yeah. And he talked to her. He was on the phone with her when she was doing all this stuff, supposedly.
What happened to him?
He's life.
Oh, yeah.
He's got life.
He got the book thrown at him big time. He's like Manson, though. He wasn't there. He didn't hurt anybody, but yet he got life.
Did you see the Manson story today? How many violations he had?
Trudy was talking about he had 100 violations.
Yeah. Spat at guards, making voodoo dolls, saw blades in the soles of his shoes.
What?
Is he really going to break out at age 82? Is he going to get out?
Always put the Manson family back together.
How far do you think Charlie Manson could get away from prison before someone goes,
he's Manson, though.
Manson, what are you doing walking around?
He had a cell phone.
He had numerous cell phones.
Multiple cell phones, yeah. He was calling multiple states outside of California. Did you ever cover Manson, Charlie?
No, but I knew a guy that lived next to one of the houses.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, one of the houses where the murders were?
Yeah, the
La Bianca.
Whatever
it was. Tate or La Bianca?
Whatever one was up in the Topanga Hills.
Whoa.
But the pad's still there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We need to call Christine?
Yep.
All righty. And Christine, bad call by Musburger. Broadcaster needs to go after defending Mixon. How about the headline, defending Mixon?
I think you really defended him.
Yeah.
Want to give us a little primer?
Well, Mixon, of course, was shoved by a girl who he did not know. She also tried to slap him, and he threw one fake punch, and then he threw a real punch and broke four bones in her face. So when he was allowed to play in the Sugar Bowl, apparently there was an expectation that Brent Musburger would have something to say about it, something significant. And Brent seemed to be focused on hoping this guy makes it to the next level and that he's apologized. We've talked to the coaches. They all swear the young man is doing fine. Folks, he's just one of the best. And let's hope, given a second chance by Bob Stoops, let's hope this young man makes the most of his chance and goes on to have a career in the National Football League. Social media allegedly did not like that, so he came back in the third quarter and revisited, saying, apparently some people were very upset when I wished this young man well at the next level. Let me make something perfectly clear. What he did with that young lady was brutal, uncalled for. He apologized. He was tearful. He got a second chance. He got a second chance from Bob Stoops. I happen to pull for people with second chances, okay? Let me make it absolutely clear that I hope he has a wonderful career and he teaches people with that brutal, violent video, okay? Second down and 9.
His attorney was giving an interview today and said pretty much the same thing, that people can learn from that video. The only thing you can learn from that video is what an asshole he is. And his suspension by Oklahoma, he was just redshirted. They just redshirted him for his freshman year.
Oh, so he lost no eligibility.
No.
He lost nothing.
I didn't think Christine? He lost. He should have been kicked off the team.
She's not answering?
You want double, no, it's not ringing. It's not accepting calls. You
want
what?
That was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
What?
Yeah, it was before he ever played a down for him. But, you know, he was their top recruit that year, so why would Bob Stoops get rid of him?
The person you are trying to reach is not accepting calls at this time.
She listens to the podcast.
Please try to call again later.
Yeah, she
possible.
Did.
There's always that possibility.
Absolutely possible.
Oh man. Oh, she listened to yesterday's podcast.
Yeah. I don't. She's not the kind. She's not a shrinking violet, though.
I wouldn't think. I mean, that's
seen
weak.
Her plenty of times, right?
That's lame-o.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I just like how nobody can be angry and upset anymore. It's you have to take it to the next level. The person must be fired. There has to be this retribution, this justice, this bless you, Gesundheit.
Yeah, the moral outrage. I'm going to ask her. I'm ringing.
Oh, it's
not nine.
But what's interesting, you have that moral.
We got. I think we got her after all.
It's both ways too. Because hello. Cool. Because then they come back the other way, and Musburger is more defiant. So that's what starts all these big arguments.
He said it was brutal and violent, and let's hope he's learned from it.
Yeah, and then she comes back to the Alabama game. You know, when he said, "Hey, young people, if you want to meet a pretty girl, start throwing the ball around the backyard." It was dumb, but it wasn't. Was that harmful?
I don't know.
Hello.
Hi, Christine.
Hey there, how's it going?
Good, it's Drew, Mark, and Charlie. And
hey guys.
We're calling from Detroit. How are you?
Good evening.
Well, I love Detroit. I'm from Toledo, as you know, yep. So I'm a big WJR. If Ernie Harwell was on the phone, then you'd really have my attention.
Oh boy. Well, I don't know if we can pull that one off.
I know, love Ernie. Grew up with the Tigers gone. And yeah. WJR with Ernie. Yeah, so... Yeah, well, this is great. I look forward to talking to you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked a little bit about the column yesterday because you're really going after Brent. I know you went to Northwestern, right?
Yeah. Are we? By the way, are we live now? Or
yes.
Are we,
absolutely.
Okay.
If that's okay. I hope.
Oh, absolutely. I just want to know. I want to know when we're chit chatting and when we're live.
Okay. Sorry about that. You and Brent Musburger both are Northwestern grads. You have kind of a history with Brent. You're a fan, and you seemed somewhat pained to have to take the strong stand that you took.
Absolutely, yeah. A friend of Brent, I actually emceed the event at our Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern, our Hall of Fame event, Hall of Achievement event. I was inducted a couple years before Brent, and then I emceed the event when Brent was inducted. And so we're proud Wildcats. And proud Northwestern Wildcats and Medill and all of that. So it sure didn't give me any pleasure to write what I did, which was to say that these missteps to me were horrible, just horrible. Could you imagine if take the gender part out of it and don't make it related to a woman, but make it racial, right? We all know that, he's gone. And combining it with the terrible, terrible sexist Catherine Webb stuff from a few years ago, it just really was sad for me. And I'm shocked, guys. I'm absolutely shocked that ESPN did not write something out for him, because you've got the first comments, which if folks don't know, they can read my column. They obviously can look online to find out what he said. But then you've got this social media outrage and Twitter and everything exploding.
You know what? Can I say something, though, about social media outrage? I don't know if social media outrage... It really means anything to me. I think I'd rather look at it myself and decide what I think about it, because it seems like social media outrage. It's like the Steve Martin tweet about Carrie Fisher. I don't. Did you hear about that?
No, I missed that one, because actually I'm very rarely on social media. I completely agree with you. I'm very old school on that myself. But I guess what I'm saying, ESPN decided to have him revisit it. Not you, not me.
Right.
Okay, so whatever, there maybe ESPN, forget social media outrage.
Well, ESPN probably did look at the social media. They probably did. I'm just pointing out that I find that to be the wrong standard to use. But anyway, I understand your point. I'm following you.
Right, Oh, no. Listen, I probably had to, you know, I block people and mute them. Life is too short and too good to spend one moment with around people who are in this cesspool of social media. So I just use Twitter as a bulletin board and Facebook and move on. No, so I agree with you there. How about this? It was a terrible thing to say, period. Forget social media. The comment, it was, as I wrote in the piece, as you guys know, was, you know, to me, a 1950s reaction to a 21st century problem. It was all about, hey, he's a good guy and wish him well. Are you kidding me, Brent? Come on.
Christine, can I ask you this?
Let's say that. Okay.
Does Joe Mixon deserve a second chance, in your opinion?
Absolutely. I wrote a column saying Ray Rice deserved a second chance. I think you guys know me well enough to know I'm brutally honest, and I say what I mean, and I'm never going to pull a punch and never going to hide from any interview or any question. So I'm honored to take yours.
No, go for it.
This is what you say if you're Brent. I do a ton of TV on CNN and ABC, Good Morning America. So I had many contracts with ESPN and have great respect for ESPN over the years. Okay, they show Mixon, and now you want to get into this. You go, folks, Joe Mixon was in big trouble a couple of years ago. That punch was horrific. If anyone of you saw it, it's just awful. He was given a second chance. I'm glad he was. But now, let's focus on Amelia Molitor. Have you heard her name? Black. Amelia Molitor is a woman who took that punch and had four bones in her face broken. It was horrendous. This is unacceptable behavior. We see it time and again. Violence against women, whether it's Ray Rice, whether it's Greg Hardy, or whether it's Joe Mixon, is absolutely awful. It sickens my stomach that this happened. I'm glad he has a second chance, but let's never forget Amelia Molitor, second down and nine.
Not bad once you practice it, but let me ask
you. Well, that required no practice, guys.
Well, you know, you thought about it. You're not live TV.
But Brent,
wait.
Huh?
Haven't said it.
Cynical.
Did you call her up? Did you call her up and see how she's doing?
That wasn't my point.
Well, you're making the point. Wait, Christine, my turn. You said how horrific he wouldn't bring her up or her well-being, but you had time to sit back and ruminate about it, and yet you never reached out to her?
No, I was trying to reach out to Brent. The column was about Brent, folks. It was not about Amelia Molitor. If I were writing a column about the issue, absolutely.
No, how about her? Why'd you get in touch with her?
I might. But this, as you understand, I've got editors, and the news was fresh off of Brent, and it was about Brent. And I'm not going to waste her time if I'm writing about Brent. I'm still trying to get Brent on the phone. As I said, I for 24 hours, I had the ESPN PR folks.
Well, let's do this. How about let's address violence in general? You said if it was a guy, right, and you brought race into it. I tell you what, if it was a guy, you never would have heard about it. Nobody cares. Guys getting bar fights all the time.
Explain that to me again.
Nobody. When two guys get in a fist fight, you never hear about it.
Oh, right.
So that one's a red herring.
Amen.
Are you advocating men hitting women?
No, but I'm of course not. But are you advocating women hitting men? Is that okay?
There's a butt? Really?
No. The butt is this. Do you advocate women hitting men? She clearly did that.
Yes, she did, but she pushed him, and a pushback would have been an entirely different thing.
Well, she pushed him, then slapped him, then he hit her, right? I'm not saying that. You're twisting it. I just want you to answer it, because we're in an era where we treat each other all with respect.
I answered your question. I said, absolutely. Have you read any of my Hope Solo columns, guys? Have you done your homework?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah,
I was the first person to call for her to be kicked off the U.S. Women's National Team. A woman hitting a man is horrible. Look it up. You should do that. Because
it's really kind of laughable
that you would be calling me on this, because I was out there on Hope Solo before anybody.
I thought your article was interesting. It creates some interesting discussion on the podcast yesterday, and so I thought it would be nice to talk to Christine about it.
I'm happy to talk about it, but also, you know, don't – come on. Do your homework, guys. You know, the Hope Solo thing is a clear example. I don't think, again, that I have ever been when people assume that I'm always for women, no one's ever been tougher on Marion Jones.
Well, I didn't say that, Christine. In fact, I agree with the premise of your column pretty much. The thing is, you know, doing the homework, which I've been known to do, you know, you're reading the reaction to yours. And so let me bring it up. And I think you've answered it. No, violence doesn't have any place on the college campus, I don't think.
I only have the one issue with it, and I respect your opinion because you are a female that entered a very male-dominated business at a time when many females weren't in it. I can't imagine the struggle you had. My only issue with the column is, why does Brent need to be fired for expressing his opinion that maybe a lot of people disagree with?
Because it is so out of touch with where we are now in terms of issues. Let me, again, I'll put it in my terms. If I were to have written those words in that same or a similar format in the printed work, I would expect USA to, and I did that 3 or 4 times over the course of 4 or 5 years, I would expect to lose my job because it would show I'm so out of touch. It would show that I am so not in this century. It would show that I am not understanding the incredible issues, as you guys know and your listeners know so well. We went through the Ray Rice thing. Mm-hmm. Did we learn anything? Did Brent learn anything? It is just to me, and it makes me very sad, as I said, because I've known Brent for years, and I wish he'd called me. We would have had a very different column where I would have put these things out there, but I would have given him a chance to reply, which, by the way, he still has. Dick Vitale and I talked yesterday, and he is trying to get Brent to call me. Because I would love to talk to Brent about this.
What do you think happened to Brent? Do you think he just didn't satisfy what you think he should have said? Do you think he just was uncomfortable or awkward with it? Or what do you think happened there? Because, you know, it seems to me when he said, I'm all for second chances, he doesn't, it's not like he's coming down on the girl. You just don't feel he was powerful enough.
Right. I mean,
do you think he just didn't know what to do with it? Or it was awkward, or he's just out of it? Or what do you think happened there?
Well, I'm very happy to say what I know, and I'm also very happy to say what I don't know. I have no idea what went on in the production meetings, but it blows my mind that ESPN would not have discussed this in production meetings and have gone over it tooth and nail. So,
Did they have a package before the game discussing this? Do you know?
I don't know about that because okay. I was like many other people watching the Rose Bowl, so I did not see the beginning of that game.
Do you think it'd be best if a play-by-play or color commentator didn't even address an issue like this at all? Because if somebody got fired, like say Brent got fired from this, it might have quite the chilling effect on people in the booth to say anything about anything outside the lines on ESPN.
Well,
or 1 p.m.
Or it could have the impact of saying, come on, get with the plan here. You know, this is a big issue and you can't just... say I'm rooting for the young man and forget, by the way, that there's another person involved who, by the way, was the victim in this.
It did seem kind of shallow and cheap, right? It is like him off the cuff. Here's 5 seconds. Let's move along.
Doing play by play, you know, it ends with 2nd and 9, which sounds so stupid.
It sounds very trite.
He's doing play by play. He doesn't have that much time, and I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but it is a weird position to be put in. But he's a pro. He should be able to handle it.
Well, and again, that was now we're talking about both of these. Now we're talking about the second chance, and mm-hmm. to think that he had the second chance and they didn't write something out for him, I still can't figure out ESPN not doing that. And by the way, this is not about political correctness. This is about correctness. And I know you didn't say that, but I know there's a lot of people. Oh, come on! And I grew up. My dad was Bush's vice chair in Ohio in '88. I'm a registered Republican. I'm a liberal Republican, but I am. Registered Republican. So this is about how we treat people, and this is about leadership. And Brent's got an amazing microphone and voice, as I do, and I take it very, very seriously. And words are important, and you watch your words, and you say you need to. I think it's a cultural issue, and the power that Brent could have had, and that follow up. If he had, instead of sounding so combative, which he does, you know, if you listen to it, it's really troubling. Hey, people are saying I was not right. Well, okay. It's just like whoa, Brent. And again. I'm surprised, guys, that someone didn't get in his ear and say, hey, Brent, this is what we're going to say. We're going to mention Amelia Molitor. We're going to say how much we care. We're going to move on, you know, 2nd and 9. But we are going to make sure we reflect. And by the way, again, I go back to the social media thing. Believe me, the cesspool. Ignore it. I ignore it all the time. But ESPN, somehow, someone decided to bring it back up again. And at that point, do the right thing. Nail it. You know, get it out there. Be in the 21st century, be in 2017, and don't let people like me then be critical of you. And that's all that Brent had to do, and I think he failed in that task.
What did he say when he came back?
That was the part leading up to the 2nd and 9.
I got it. Let's see. I have to look for 2nd and 9, and I'll find it. There it is. Okay. Apparently some people were very upset when I wished this young man well at the next level. Let me make something perfectly clear. What he did with that young lady was brutal, uncalled for. He apologized. He was tearful. He got a second chance. He got a second chance from Bob Stoops. I happen to pull for people with second chances. Okay, let me make it absolutely clear that I hope he has a wonderful career and he teaches people with that brutal, violent video. Okay? Second down and nine.
That's second and nine. Yeah. It's so ridiculous.
It sounds so stupid.
I know. I'm actually glad
again,
you kept
guys,
that part
you know
in
what?
The column.
Well, and you know, here, I mean, listen, if we had a dramatic reading of anything we would do, it could sound stupid. Believe me, there's a lot of things that I've done and everyone else has done. Here's the key. This is his second pass at it. And if you listen to it, it's a very different than reading the words on the page. Because
I kind of like to hear it now.
You should. It's up. I mean, it's mm-hmm. not
I mean, I'm
hard
reading
to
it. The transcripts are different. I just feel like
I've heard it a billion times. Yeah.
It's nasty. He's upset. He's mad. It doesn't sound happy.
You misunderstand. Let me make this very clear.
He sounds a little dismissive.
Yeah. Exactly. But. Hey,
I don't think it's a perfect reaction. I'm just kind of surprised at the idea that he should be fired after as long a career as he's had.
Angry about it. I think we should recognize it, but fired? I don't know. I mean,
keep in mind. Whoa, guys. Keep in mind what I wrote. It's time to go. He should. And the end of the column says he should do it himself. 77. Believe me, if I was started doing this stuff. And I'm gonna put
that's ageism.
No. If I started doing this stuff, let me finish my sentence, my friend. If I started doing this stuff, I would be the first to go. I would absolutely say it's time. I am missing the mark here. I am not getting this. This is really a huge issue in our society, violence against women, especially in football. Ray Rice, Greg Hardy, Mixon, et cetera. And I just missed it big time. I'm blowing it. And then you throw in the Catherine Webb thing, which was really creepy. And
I got to tell you something about the Catherine Webb thing. We played it last night in the podcast, and there was a female in the room, and she laughed, and we all laughed, and we kind of thought, oh, you know, he's an old man, and she's a pretty girl, and was it really that?
She's a model.
She's a Miss. Was she a pageant attendee or something? Or she was Miss Alabama? I don't know. It just didn't really bother anybody that much. I mean, I thought it was kind of stupid, but.
Hello?
Whoa.
Oh, maybe
no
she,
way.
Well, maybe she had something else to do.
I think she was having a series of calls, but I think we were DQ'd. She wouldn't have hung up. Would
no,
she?
No,
no, she was cool.
Yeah,
she's
more than happy to beg her.
Once again, it's all about perspective and where you came from. I just tend to disagree with her.
I lost you guys.
There we go.
I would just say that it was totally inappropriate, and I with all respect to the woman. That you would have had there in your studio, completely inappropriate and totally uncalled for.
What's wrong with recognizing an attractive woman who's a pageant winner? I mean, I would think the girl would love it.
Well, then say that. Don't go, oh, she's a beauty, or what all the other stuff that she's doing.
What did he say that was so bad? I'm sorry, what did he say that was so bad about Catherine Webb?
You don't, our culture, that's treating a woman... objectifying her and talking about her look, and it went on and on and on. So I will rest my case there. I think
I'll listen to it again.
Ask your daughters.
You know what, Christine? You know what I think's funny?
I wouldn't do that with a man.
Yeah, you know what I think. You know what I think in this whole world, though, this where you exist and Brent exists and everything. I think it's funny. It's a bunch of. Teenagers, men running around in tight pants, and everybody calling them studs. You know what I mean? It's objectifying.
Again, you've got me on the air right now, and I have never done that.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying the whole culture of televised sports.
Right, but Brent's better than that. That Brent's not that. Brent is the voice of this. That you are given to whom much is given from the Bible, much is expected. I was taught that way.
Bible.
I know many others Football. Who were. You don't do that. You don't fall into that. Brent is an example. He's a leader. He's a role model. His voice matters. He's got a high standard to live up to, and unfortunately, sadly, he's not meeting it. And that's what the column was about.
Christine, thanks for the time.
Hey, guys. Thank you. Take
care. Appreciate the conversation. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
But you know what I'm saying, though.
Can you bring up...
He's a real stud, this one. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Living and dying by a 19-year-old. I
thought you made a great point bringing up the girl hitting him first. It's not that it made it okay for him to hit him, but she did. I feel bad the girl's got a fucked up face, and he should never slug her
she
like
got
that.
Mad at me
a
for
A man
it,
should
but
never hit a girl, but why she should not have hit him.
It should be done. That's what it should be. Like, violence isn't tolerated. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But I didn't understand what she's saying. Well, it was two guys. Well, imagine the racial thing. I'm like, what? Two guys? Nah.
No, nobody gives a shit.
Nobody would beat him with a chair.
Nobody would care.
No, let me get this straight. No, just, you know, beating each other's not the right thing to do.
Like I said yesterday, I think the anger is misplaced. It should be put on Joe Mixon. It should be put on Bob Stoops.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Stoops.
It drives me up a wall.
What did Stoops have to say about it?
Stoops said if it was 2016 when it happened, it'd be different. It was 2014.
Yeah.
Does he got to go?
I don't know. This is part of my problem with this stuff is that
here's
everyone
has instructor on the university grounds.
It was definitely a weak response. I don't know. This is my problem with her comments. Like everyone has to be fired. It's like he didn't speak well to one subject. So he's got to be fired. I just think it's bullshit. And I think this Catherine Webb thing to throw this in like, oh, he survived the Catherine Webb thing. I don't know how he survived that. I just want to hear it one more time. I just thought it was funny. I know he's a 77-year-old guy. I don't expect him to be the most.
Uh-oh.
Are we in trouble?
I want to hear what he said when he came back the second time.
Jay's smiling.
I think Brent is a little dismissive, but you know,
Let's hear it. There
are people jumping to conclusions thinking that he doesn't give a shit about this chick who mix and punch, which you don't know that.
Well, I kind of want to hear the if she was playing. She insists the game. that his tenor is so bad. Is that her?
No, that was Maz.
Oh, that was Maz?
What did he get yelled at?
He's like, hey, Christine said the call dropped. He was calling the informant already knew kind of thing. Okay. So apparently she called Maz as soon as the call dropped.
Oh, okay.
Well, Maz set it up. Well, yeah. Maz, ooh.
Yeah. He's got a good Rolodex.
Yeah, Maz is good at this stuff. I think he might be a big help.
Don't fool me.
I'm dying to hear this Catherine Webb thing one more time because every time I think it's going to be so bad and I go, I don't think it's that bad. I know it's not good.
Back into the game. Now, when you're a quarterback at Alabama, you see that lovely lady there. She does go to Auburn. I want to admit that. But she also Miss Alabama, and that's A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, okay? And right there on the right is Dee Dee Bonner. That's A.J.'s mom. Wow, I'm telling you, quarterbacks, you get all the good-looking women. What a beautiful woman.
Wow. A.J.'s doing some things right down in
Tuscaloosa. So if you're a youngster in Alabama, start getting the football out and throw it around the backyard with Pop.
Is that so fucking bad?
No.
And by the way, why doesn't Herb Street get fired too?
I know.
Billy Bush did.
I know Billy Bush. Poor Billy Bush. He'll never work again.
Can you get the sound from him saying, okay, I heard a lot of you are mad, okay?
Oh, Brent Musburger?
Yeah, I just like to hear the tone.
Brent Musburger on Mixon. In the Sugar Bowl? That was Sugar Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm tell you what about this.
Musburger comments on Oklahoma running back. What's his first name? Joe Mixon?
Joe Mixon, yeah.
Joe Mixon. M-I-X-O-N, just like Nixon, but Mixon.
You know, the irony, too, is that the color commentator who doesn't say anything is Jesse Palmer, who was The Bachelor. Who Googled 25 women on national TV to find a wife.
Made out with 17 of them in the hot tub.
Seriously, should he be fired? I mean, he was The Bachelor looking for love.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, I think we knew it. We've re-recognized it with the whole Trump thing and everything. There's lots of different cultures in the United States. Everybody's not on the same page.
No, they're not on the same page.
What you can say, what you cannot say.
But that's why there needs to be a little understanding of people's perspective and where they come from, and it always isn't from such a...
I just don't think people should be fired and never allowed to work again because they said something that was a little off the radar with some people.
Again, I got her goat on that because, you know, when she's saying, did he inquire about her well-being at all? Did you? Was it worth a sentence?
Where is the article about
it's interesting. She said, I might call her.
What does the woman think about this?
That's funny. I have not heard. I have not heard a word from the victim herself. The victims?
I mean, it is currently in litigation. They are deposing him. I think next week on video.
Really?
The civil suit. Yeah.
Oh boy.
He pled. I believe he pled not guilty. Or no, I think he pled no contest, like I'm guilty.
Oh, okay.
Well, I watched some video of him today in the lawyer's office. I think maybe like
the, maybe he just maybe he was deposed today. Then I don't know.
There was some video out where he's sitting. I don't know. It looked like it was his lawyer, maybe a detective, something, maybe private investigator, going through step by step, and he's commenting on.
What was the? Oh, so he pled nolo contendere or no contest or whatever.
There's something.
What did
like
he get?
That.
Probation. I assume.
Let me look it up. I mean, it was really his first. He's only
there.
What,
you go, Jay found it.
Kind of like you're talking about though. Like, why should people be fired?
Yeah.
So what if this gets cleared up, why not go back to all the people calling for him to be fired and have them be fired for suggesting that? Up the ante, you know, make it a...
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm just...
How do you quell it otherwise, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I just think it's...
Because we get into a petty and shabby place in this country.
Yeah, it is. It's petty. It is. It's like...
No, I just mean, like, okay, like, you know, now we got to go back. Anybody that said he should, yes.
I want to give you an example of what kind of shit people do. Somebody I know made a comment about a female, yeah, is she hot or not? It was one of those, she hot? I kind of think she's hot. Is she hot or not? You know, and a couple people called in. No big deal. Someone sent the tape of that conversation to the female he was talking about's boss, which was at a network. And of course, there was a response of, well, that guy, he'll never get an interview from our network again. That's that. It's like, who is the guy who has time to take a tape and send it to the chick's boss? And okay, the conversation was a bit sexist. Of course it was. But the chick would have never heard about it. Her boss would have never known about it. It was a big nothing. It was a throwaway.
Well, the irony in it is that network has a lot of very attractive women working for
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Mixon, by the way, it's called an Alford plea. Charlie, you're the smart one here. Alford plea.
Alford, named after the butler. Batman.
I knew you'd know.
It was a misdemeanor assault charge. He got a 1-year deferred sentence, required to perform 100 hours of community service and undergo counseling.
Huh. I wonder if he'll perform the community service. I think he already has. Oh, really?
For some reason, I thought he already had.
I swear to God, every time I hear about a celebrity in community service, it turns out they didn't really perform the community service. Like, remember OJ did his over the phone?
Yeah, that's right. Well, don't forget, Mixon got, you know, suspended. I mean, redshirted.
Go there again. But read the disc. It says right here. Let me see from here. Verbal argument, which was followed by Molitor, the woman pushing Mixon, the man, him lunging at her, her slapping him, and him punching her. Mm-hmm. So he's got a year, and she was physical.
She technically assaulted him. If he hadn't hit her, could he not have charged her with assault?
Sure. Of course he could have.
Would they have gone after her?
Yeah, and what would people say on social media? Oh, isn't he a big pussy charging some chick with assault?
Well, he's a big pussy for punching her.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, total pussy.
No, he's mine. I didn't even say he was drinking or anything.
He's
I don't know.
I don't think he was drinking because it wasn't even in a bar.
No. Very delicious menu for that sandwich shop. I don't know if you knew that, Charlie.
What do they got there?
I told Drew a while ago. I looked up their menu. I'll find it for you.
Yeah, it was last night's
Gourmet Cafe.
Serious issue, shallow thought, was that Mark had actually checked the menu out at the place. Joe Mixon assaulted the girl because it looked good. But
look,
the funny thing is, I didn't say, go, what they got
grinders,
there?
See?
Charlie took it a step further by asking what they have.
What do you want? You want the turkey sandwich, ham sandwich, veggie? It's not bad. Cafe Club. It's like a Jimmy John's.
No clubs.
Yeah, I'm not a big club sandwich person, too. What's with the extra piece of bread in a club sandwich? Why does that make a sandwich better, to have an extra piece of bread in the middle?
It's like 1.5 sandwiches.
I guess. Yeah.
Man, I could go for one of these.
Happy birthday to
you.
Oh,
they have pizza, too. I never went this far down the menu.
The hog.
What kind of pizza?
Any kind you want.
Something called the truth.
Jay, let's hear Joe Mixon. Let's hear what he had to say about. Well, let's hear what Brent had to say about Joe Mixon. Let's hear the tone and the tenor.
That's Joe Mixon, number 25, just bindi down there. Many of you are aware of the controversy surrounding this young man in recent weeks. But back in 2014, he punched a female student back in Norman. He was suspended the following month for the entire 14 season. Oklahoma thought he might transfer. Well, the video was released in 2016.
He's reading the bullet points on the screen.
Yeah, this is the first part.
Because they knew that the media had sued and would eventually get out. It was troubling, very troubling to see. We've talked to the coaches, and They all swear that the young man is doing fine. Like I said, Oklahoma thought he might even transfer, but he sat out the suspension.
He was redshirted.
And folks, he is he's just one of the best. And let's hope, given a second chance by Bob Stoops and Oklahoma, let's hope that this young man makes the most of his chance and goes on to have a career in the National Football League.
I don't. Should he be rooting against him? I mean, I don't know. It's part two.
Some people were very upset when I wish this young man well at the next level. Let me make something perfectly clear.
Pause it for a second.
What he did.
People are upset that I wished him well at the next level. So
aim here.
The guy made a mistake, so no one can wish him well anymore. No one can. You have to think of hope that bad things happen to him.
Well, that's the thing. He did a shitty thing. It was awful. He pled. He got community service. I think the coach is a little light on the suspension. And now doesn't he deserve a second chance?
And look, I'm sitting here feeling this is loaded. So let me make something really clear. No, you can't defend what you saw him do.
Of course not.
All right. But I just listened to that Brent Musburger thing. Was that thing that bad?
No, we haven't heard the rest of part two. I'm
going to hear it now, but that was like they went through it step by step.
I don't know why he had to come back and revisit it, to be honest.
A horrible bit. Well, they prepared it, obviously.
Yeah, okay. They did.
She seems more upset at part two.
So that's why. Let me hear this.
Okay. She does have a point. Brett was probably a little unprepared on part one and part two.
Well, no, part one, he was following some bullet points. We were watching it on the screen. So that was ESPN or somebody put those balls.
You know, Jess, apparently some people were very upset when I wished this young man well at the next level. Let me make something perfectly clear. What he did with that young lady was brutal, uncalled for. He's apologized.
Hey, I just realized something that might bother her, and I think this is a fair point. Referring to her maybe as the young lady and not by name seemed to really bother her. You know what I mean?
Let me hear the rest.
Okay, sorry.
No one knows who she is.
Brutal, uncalled for. He's apologized. He was tearful. He got a second chance. He got a second chance from Bob Stoops. I happen to pull for people with second chances, okay? Let me make it absolutely clear that I hope he has a wonderful career and he teaches people with that brutal, violent video. Okay? Second down and 9.
It really was that last sentence there, wasn't it? Okay? Second and 9.
Teach people that brutal, violent video. That's a little ridiculous.
Well, it's not very well stated.
Well, no, the young man said he'd come out and he would absolutely talk to, you know, domestic violence groups. Like, you know, he wants to make amends for it. You know what I mean? He's ashamed of it or whatever. I'm not defending the cat.
No, I know.
But
come on, be fired for that?
The forest is on fire. I don't know. I've heard much worse.
I don't know. Sometimes I think these columnists are trying to make a name for themselves or get a little extra attention. Although, she claims she's friends with Brent, and he inducted her, and she inducted him. And ooh!
Well,
we really need to know all that.
Now you're onto something. There is the nature of the hot take, which needs to be so over the top and so aggressive, and then the response by Brent will be, even more. Well, it'll probably be defiant, if anything.
Yeah, if anything.
Digging in even harder.
He didn't respond.
As opposed to just going, oh, that's really stupid. I didn't like what he said. I hate Brent. you know what I mean? But
yeah.
It's her job to go way over the top. But maybe, I don't know. I guess she feels that way. So.
Oh, I think she was sincere.
Oh, yeah.
She seems like one of those people that wants people to, suffer terrible consequences when they. Catherine Webb's celebrity net worth. Thank you, Jay. $1 million. The girl that Brent slobbered over in the stands. Yeah, what's Jen Sturger's celebrity net worth?
How'd she get a mil?
You mean Favre Girl?
It's Favre Girl.
She was just in college.
How much?
Good point, Charlie.
Well, how much did the TV show Splash pay her? Remember, she was on Splash.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Louis Anderson and Kareem.
Jen Sturger, $1.5 million.
She's been around longer. Favre Girl. Yeah. Yeah. They served their purpose.
Paid for it.
Did you just call them tubes, Jay?
Sorry.
Is there any place in society for this anymore?
Apparently what Jay said really rubbed people the wrong way. Let me make this perfectly clear.
Hope that young man gets a second chance on this podcast.
She had her breasts reduced. Okay? Second and nine.
Second and nine. I think that's going to live in infamy.
It does kind of make it sound so much worse.
It's so tacky.
We got a football game to watch here.
That's what it was.
Of course.
If I heard just anything raunch in that whole thing, that was it. All right, second and nine.
He was pretty dismissive, which that's fine. It's his opinion. Be upset at it, and let's go. Next. This will last a week.
I don't know. It just seems so over the top to me. Brent Musburger's celebrity net worth, $12 million. How can Brent Musburger be worth only eight times what Jen Sturger's worth and 12 times what Catherine Webb is worth?
And here's the trip. I mean, what kind of appetites does this man have? He's worth $12 million but makes $4 million a year. He's 77.
Yeah, what's he blowing out his ass on?
He must be going to that booze? New cocktail joint downtown for $80 a drink.
Yeah. Jeez. I know somebody that used to pick him up in a limo when he would do the Michigan games.
Oh, Brent?
Had to have a case of beer in the limo when he picked him up.
Really?
I am not bullshit.
On the way to the game or on the way home?
He picked him up from the airport. So they would come in on a Wednesday, or okay. So he'd want it in his hotel room. Nothing wrong with that. But
that makes sense. That's kind of smart. He's been around.
He doesn't have to go to the store and get it himself.
I need a case because I'm here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah. Probably till Sunday, maybe.
Wow.
Because I love college game day, okay? Yeah, okay. Second and nine.
I was thinking they picked him up on Saturday morning, which is ludicrous.
I know.
Of course he was there early in the week.
I need to be picked up at the airport and driven to the Ritz and have a case of beer. And third and nine, let's go.
Take me to Blue Front.
All right, third and nine.
Where did Brent stay, by the way?
I don't know where. I can find out. I don't know where he stayed. This was 20 years ago.
By the way, is there a swanky hotel in Ann Arbor? Where's that?
Where? Downtown.
What is there?
Well, the one right out here on in State.
That's
where the team stays the night before. Balls. What is it? It's not the Arbor Inn. There's also Weber's, which is on the west side. You know where Weber's is. That's not bad.
I mean, how swanky are we talking?
There's a bed and breakfast right downtown.
It's known. I forget.
The Bell Tower Inn.
What is the name of that?
I know. It's driving me. I'm going to look it up because it's driving me nuts.
The Gandy Dancer. Okay.
Is that still open?
I don't know.
What's that? What's the Gandy Dancer?
It's a Muir restaurant, the fancy restaurant.
Upscale deal on the railroad tracks.
Oh, okay.
I had a friend who worked there, and they would take, they had frequent diner cards, and this person was a waitress. So if somebody didn't have the dining card and it was a big meal, she would just run her number and just accumulated massive points.
Oh, really?
Restaurant. Yeah.
Wow.
Never caught on.
Hey, since we're speaking of a violent act, going back to whatever her name is, the Joe Mixon event, second and nine. How about these jackasses?
Okay. Yeah, okay, that's the other part. Okay.
Okay.
That's the part that got me.
What is up with these guys who beat up this special needs, these black guys and girls who whip this special needs guy and are quoting or yelling Donald Trump and what the fuck? What is that?
Fuck Trump, fuck white people?
I mean,
it's a hate crime, but stupid young people.
Are we sure this guy voted for Donald Trump? I mean, is it that apparent? Does this guy vote? Is he even old enough to vote?
No.
Isn't he a teenager?
Yes.
What is that? And they're filming themselves. Their faces are on social media, too, after they beat the shit out of this guy. I mean, the whole thing is so stupid.
One of them's pissed off more people aren't watching.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
Y'all ain't even watching my shit. That's what she's saying.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not
kidding. Are you serious? Really?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, it's a half-hour video. I haven't seen the whole video. Have you guys seen anybody seen the whole video?
I don't really care to.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Campus Inn, by the way.
Campus Inn.
It's now the Graduate Ann Arbor.
Second and nine.
Forever leading, always valiant. Okay, third and nine.
Oh, God.
Oh, look. Hip.
Oh.
Hip.
Oh. Just looking at that.
No, I'm not staying there. Like the pillows say U and M.
Well, I'm staying there.
Yelp reviews?
They're all wonderful.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, come on, Mark. They got to have a one star, too. Don't give me that.
Let's get back to the real issue, okay? Third and nine.
Is there anything interesting about the Golden Globes Sunday night? The Golden Globes?
Yeah, NBC, NBC turned down an ad they thought was inappropriate, and I cannot find the ad online.
What's it about? You know?
I have no idea. It's for some, it's for some like throat lozenge company.
I saw Jimmy Fallon being interviewed about the Golden Globes since he's hosting.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to suggest that he doesn't really do does he do political humor at all?
No. Fallon?
Yeah.
Well, they asked Hillary to email him.
He played with Trump's hair.
He finds the joke, doesn't he? Yeah, play with Trump's hair. Right. That's about what he does.
Yeah.
That's really, okay. So he doesn't really ever talk about politics.
It's going to be not Ricky Gervais or Amy and Tina.
No, but it might be wackier.
Great.
There might be some games.
Man.
So.
I bet you he does an impersonation.
That first year Ricky did it, that was a scream.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Oh, my God. That was
awesome.
I watched the whole thing online.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was so good.
I just think Jimmy Fallon is a big come down from Ricky Gervais or Tina and Amy. Or, I mean, Jimmy Fallon. I mean, he's okay. It just seems like they were going in the right direction, host wise.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't like Tina and Tina or whatever.
No?
No. I didn't. They're not funny to me.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, I didn't.
You have a problem with women are funny?
Yeah. Get Christine second back on the phone. Okay.
Your favorite female comedian?
Actually, Tina Fey is one of the funniest females I know. Yeah. I'm not ever.
Tina Fey?
Tina Fey? I think she's funny. I love her on Saturday Night Live.
Sarah Silverman.
Joan Rivers? Hello?
Joan Rivers?
Love
absolutely.
Joan Rivers. Love
oh, my
Joan
God,
Rivers.
The best.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Amy Schumer fan.
She's really hit and miss for me.
I think the South Park ruined her for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, that whole Cartman thing. Vagina!
Yeah.
It was pretty good, actually. I don't know. It just seemed to hit home. Anyway.
Favorite male comedian?
All time.
I love George Carlin. I always love George Carlin.
I'm still partial to Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Louis's very funny.
I'm Don Rickles. Him.
Yeah.
Don Rickles.
I'm living in the 70s, guys.
Don Rickles is funny as hell.
I will say Ricky Gervais is up there, though, too, for me.
Yep, he's funny.
Yeah, he's great.
But Don Rickles invented the rip.
Yeah.
Just tearing you up.
Yeah. He's great.
It's definitely, it's a unique style, and nobody's better at it.
But who, you thought, like...
Actually, I think Bill Cosby's my favorite, on and off stage. No.
So, you say George Carlin.
Yeah, I love George Carlin.
Yeah.
You liked him better than Richard Pryor.
Well, I liked Richard Pryor, too. I just think I got exposed to Richard Pryor later on when I was in college because I was around a bunch of black basketball players at Virginia Tech, and they were always playing Richard Pryor, and I got into him. But I'd known Carlin sooner, and I love George. I mean, I still love George, but Pryor was great.
Those two, they're like, for me, they don't hold up for me.
They don't hold up?
No, but they were like the first sort of social conscious guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't like when Carlin goes too far. I like him when he does some, but not, you know. He has albums where it's all about social commentary, and that can bum me out a little bit. Or about the he has a lot about the environment and about
Who was the first guy?
Lenny
Bruce?
Lenny Bruce, thank you.
Yeah, you listen to him ever?
I have, but it's
not funny now.
Yeah, it doesn't translate well, but that's kind of comedy, isn't it? I mean, yeah, if you're going to do social issue comedy, it's not going to last for terribly long.
I mean, they were shocking, too. You know, I mean, they were getting, you know, I don't know if Pryor was, but he got arrested.
You
know, I got to tell you, I thought Dave Chappelle on SNL,
the
last time he was on a couple weeks ago, that was fantastic.
Awesome.
God, that was great. And Chris Rock is great, too. I love Chris Rock.
I thought Eddie Murphy was hilarious in his day.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He's completely lost me, though. I can't think of the last thing he did that I liked, except for the clumps.
You know what? You know who I was reading about? And it really bummed me out, just thinking back on him, is Geraldo and Greg Geraldo.
Oh,
and how fucking great he was.
He was phenomenal. And he was so underrated.
Smart.
Yeah, brilliant. And at the roasts, he was the best thing at the roast, by far, in my opinion. And Jeffrey Ross is he's a great roaster. But Geraldo was good.
You know that story's about them being buddies, right? Back in the day, and Geraldo, you know, he went to law school, was going to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
But just hated it, and his parents were all bummed.
Right.
And
I didn't know he and Jeffrey Ross were big buddies.
He got Ross off of some legal issue. He was his lawyer.
Oh.
And then that really kind of turned the tide and helped him get into stand-up. And
Yeah, he's missed. Howard was talking about him.
Really?
Yeah.
Recently?
Yeah, just recently.
What was he saying about
him? He was talking about roasts.
Yeah.
About I forgot why the subject came up, but I've been listening to Howard a lot. It's funny, you know, never hearing Stern for so long, and then now hearing him virtually every day because I got the satellite in the car. And having a show that actually, like, fires me up, because I love listening to Howard in the morning. It's like, you know, and there were people saying to us, wow, you guys really helped me get through this. And I was like, what do we do to help you? What do we do? I mean, it's
okay,
a radio show.
Okay,
hey, thank you. But Stern has the same effect on me. I love listening to Howard in the morning, and there's a million things going on in that show. And I'm because of what I do, too, I'm fascinated by a lot of the stuff. Like, he and Gary's relationship is fascinating to me. So there's something really heavy there. Gary, did you listen to Howard at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Gary Delabate, the producer. Howard just hates Gary sometimes. I mean, he's so mean to him. And I can't figure it out because other times it's clear he's like, I can't live without Gary. Gary's, you know, the guy that's done it all. But there's something horribly contentious there. I think it's because Gary has gotten maybe a little too big for his britches.
Yeah.
Like, he wrote a book and, you know, he's out there doing, he's on the interview circuit. And Howard's like, you know, you're starting to embarrass yourself. You need to end it now.
Well, your responsibility's here. Here. You're nothing without me.
Yeah, kind of. Well, I think it's sort of like, you know, who's the star?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to say that, but that's kind of what he's... Yeah. It's hard when you're a show that big and the sideline people become big stars, too. And, I mean, he's the producer. You don't expect a producer to become, you know, writing books and stuff. And, he does... He was on some show about vinyl, and so Howard, I mean, would not let up ragging about how stupid vinyl is. And then... Then he took the audiobook version of Gary's book
and
started playing that on the air and making in like his how songs sound better on a jukebox and I mean just would not stop making fun of the stupid things in the book and they was I mean honestly after a while I thought this is the dumbest book I've ever heard of in my life. It was really brutal.
You don't do that to someone unless you like them, right?
Yeah.
It's not if he works for
but him. He clearly has a bone to. I mean, there's a heavy bone there somehow.
Sure.
And I love that Gary's like the only guy who'll try and defend himself against Howard, which is just silly. But but he tries.
I like when they're all a bunch of tattletales on each other.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really
hilarious.
It's remarkable.
It's a way to get on the air. They're all fighting for airtime, so they all tell
a bit
each other
about their stupid fantasy league.
oh, the fantasy league stuff. Yeah. Oh my
god!
Who
was the celebrity that was trying to get in on it, or they were debating whether or not to let him in?
Yeah.
Well, obviously you haven't done your homework because they both have contracts with the ESPN. Okay. Second and nine.
It's he's real New York, talks fast.
Michael Rappaport.
Rappaport. Yeah, Rappaport ruined the league.
Yeah,
it was fun when it was just in the office, but then when Rappaport got in there, he's leaving these nasty voicemails. And did you hear when they called Rappaport and it was Sour Shoes, who does Gary's voice so well, and is like, you know, you really ought to lay off me and, you know, you give me such a hard time about this fantasy league. And Rappaport says, oh, fuck you. You know, you fucking diarrhea breath and monkey mouth. And I mean, it just like tore into him. He thought it was Gary.
That's awesome.
Like, wow, he really was going to talk to Gary like that? I mean, it's a fascinating show, I got to say.
That's funny. I got a call from Deepak Chopra today.
Really?
Deepak, what? Really?
No. Oh. It was some fucker I knew.
Oh. Who was it?
It's a buddy of mine. I didn't fall for it, though.
Huh.
I played just in case it was.
You never know, yeah.
I said, well, I know who you are, but I don't know you. What's going on? What can I do?
Who are you?
So Charlie, what have you been doing? I know people are asking, what's Charlie doing? He's not on Channel 2 anymore.
Yeah, I'm just working on my book, man.
Yeah?
Working on my book.
Cool.
Putting some other things together.
Can you say what it's about, or do you not want to tip it off?
TV.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Basically from the day Kwame gets convicted, which is the only day I ever wore makeup in my life.
Really?
Because that was the day after Patty's Day when I got my ass stomped.
Oh, yeah.
I had to because of black eyes and no skin on my face. And to basically the end, you know. It's basically from Flint to Ferguson to Trump and home.
Okay.
So it's that 3 years we're coming out of bankruptcy, the country's on fire, enter the dawn of the Don, boom, here, you know, just everything that sort of happens and behind the scenes and what media is and what the country is and, you know.
That's a crazy week, though, that week with St. Paddy's and Kwame. And
Sunday was St. Paddy's, Monday was Kwame, and Thursday Detroit got Kevin Orr as the emergency manager.
Wow.
And those just that fast.
Whoa.
I'm going through it. It's like, it was insane. That was an insane, for me, 3 years. I mean, you name it, I was there. I was like, Zelig, man.
I think we were on vacation that week, and you guys.
We were.
In. I was out of town, so I couldn't come in, but you and Trudy came in. And
yeah. I know, that was such a bummer, too, because we had covered it. We spent so much time on that, and I just knew, we're going to go on vacation, they're going to have a verdict.
Yep.
And of course, they did.
Yep, we were down in South Carolina.
Yep.
But
I remember him standing there, too, like the media dispersed to go file, and he came out the back of the courtroom, and I saw him just staring at him.
What did he say? Did he say anything to you?
He just muttered, man. He just muttered.
What did he mutter, though?
She went, shit.
I can't, you know, I'm not quite sure anymore. It's somewhere on tape. I'll find it. But he's just looking into the sky. Just eyes welled up. And, you know, I'm just like, are you sorry?
I'm kind of fascinated by it. I wonder what he is. Do you suppose he's, like, taking over the prison? Like, he runs the joint?
Oh, yeah.
That's how I picture him.
Yeah.
That he's getting joy out of being, the big man on campus in prison.
I mean, he's physically intimidating to begin with, so that kind of helps.
Yeah.
And he's not dumb. He's just not terribly self-aware about things.
I can't think he's enjoying it, though.
Well, I don't think anybody in prison would enjoy it.
I don't suppose so, but I wonder if he's, you know, a lot of those murderers that I read about in true crime, they do really well in prison because they want to take over. They want to run, whatever it is they can run, they want to run it and they want to manipulate it. And I don't know. I think Kilpatrick's kind of a sociopath. So I think maybe, you think he's a sociopath?
I don't know.
He does not have empathy. I really don't think he.
No.
He might be more of a narcissist. I don't know.
Well, he's definitely a narcissist.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, there's guys that seem to do better in prison. Like, there you're a big man. Things are taken care of for you. You get out. A lot of guys are back in a year.
Well, nobody enjoyed prison as much as Richard Speck.
No.
I was just sitting here thinking, like, who enjoys prison? And Richard Speck popped in my head.
Yeah, got those new boobs. Got his black boyfriend. And
lots of cocaine.
Off and running. Yeah. That video is so shocked me when I saw it. It's like, oh my God, that's Richard Speck with giant boobs. What is this? He actually got
implants.
Did he have hormones? He had hormones. Yeah. He was becoming a woman, I guess, and he grew those boobs.
Yeah.
And does he get to be moved to a woman's facility?
He wasn't in a woman's facility.
He was a woman.
He was with his boyfriend.
Just a man on hormones, I guess.
Talking about what a great time he was having. They had a big line of cocaine in front of him. He's like, I love it in here. You know, they were just
I'm telling you, nobody.
What a ball they were having. You know, they had all the drugs, and apparently they're having some wild sex, and he's growing boobs, and what do you want?
Here you go.
Oh, when he takes his shirt off?
Yeah.
New life. It was the most stable existence he had known since early childhood.
The structure and style and position of authority held in prison were the highest position he
ever
held.
Where's the Speckmeister?
Hang on, let me go back.
He killed eight nurses and he would have killed nine, but one hid under the bed and got away.
In 1996, Chicago investigative journalist Bill Curtis uncovered a grotesque reminder of Richard Speck. The disturbing video in which Speck discusses the murders and shows evidence of his bizarre life behind bars.
How'd you get out to get another lady? Rock and roll is real. Had no freedom. Bad news, I feel sorry. But no.
More shocking than Speck's lack of remorse was his change in appearance. Apparently, through the use of hormones, he had transformed his body to ensure his survival in one of America's most dangerous prisons.
He had the certain trappings of a female body that made him very desirable to inmates. The breasts and the,
how did that make him survive? Doug don't want to suck his tits.
We're all part of his team.
Charlie's not appreciating this nearly as much as we did. Charlie won't look.
Well supplied.
What's the matter, Charlie?
Like liquor, there's doing blow. Cocaine. because he...
Well, Charlie will watch that.
That's a ton of blow.
...being in the penitentiary. Yeah. I mean, and then it worked. He didn't get killed like Dahmer.
I forgot he's wearing
absolutely
panties.
Absolutely cunning survivor.
Oh! Why is that?
Oh, you know what fun I've had. It turned me loose.
So...
That's also what... This
is he a homosexual, I take it? I mean...
Well, yeah. I would say so.
Then why the boobs?
To make him more desirable.
Makes him enticing.
But a gay dude wouldn't want boobs.
Yeah, but those other guys aren't gay.
There's, I guess everybody wants him. Prison. Though. He's the ultimate desirable man.
Yeah. Go anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever it takes, Spexter. All right. Well, we should be back Sunday night, I suppose. I was kicking around maybe after the Lions game Saturday night, but that just seems too crazy.
Hey, I was reading a breakdown of picks from people.
Yeah.
There are about 10 picks. 3 people in that group picked the Lions.
What?
Yeah, but you know.
Are these national people?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to be watching.
Oh, everybody's going to watch. Yeah. It's just. Do you expect
I'll watch?
Them to win?
No. They got a shot. That's why I'm watching.
That's the NFL, so.
Exactly. How confident are you that they will not win?
75%.
Oh, okay. That's
actually lower than probably. I want to say like 95. I really just don't think they'll win. I just don't believe.
I'd give them a 10%. If they played 10 times, they'd win once.
Yep, and it could be the first time. I mean, that's, you know, I mean.
Yeah, remember, Seattle's offensive line is garbage.
Garbage.
Hot garbage. Our defensive line, not so spectacular, but it's not like playing against Dallas or the Giants. I mean, they can get some pressure. And, God, I hate to say this, but we still have a good quarterback, and in that league, a good quarterback can steal a game.
Those two quarterbacks.
They got a great D, though. You know what I mean? So.
True, but you know they have some injuries on, you know, that's the other
they
problem.
Have Cliff Averill.
Well, their defensive line's good, but they have some injuries in the backfield. But Reef is out, and I think Swanson's out, too. So,
whoa.
Still, I mean, Swanson's been out, but still.
Well, I'm just looking at Stafford versus, whatchamacallit, their quarterback.
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson, yeah. Their numbers are almost identical.
Really?
Yeah, almost identical for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Stafford's had a good year.
He's a very good year. They're rated like around 93 point something or 94, right around there, which is a good year for quarterback.
Well, didn't Wilson have 5 picks in a game?
He's had a couple. He's had struggles this year.
Yeah.
No, he had like 4 or 5 picks
probably
in one game.
I wouldn't
surprise
me. So
their numbers are similar. I don't remember Stafford throwing 5 picks in a game. So that
no,
tells
but
you
know
him.
What? He started the year, he had 21 TDs and 5 picks in his last 4 or 5 games, 3 touchdowns and 5 picks to finish with 24 and 10. So he really, I think that finger injury is worse than he's letting on because he really has not thrown as well since he got hurt.
He got a brace on it, so you know there's something wrong with it.
I'm thinking of the interceptions. The 2 interceptions he had when he had the first glove, when he hurt his game in that finger.
Yeah.
I put that on having that glove. You know,
he's had a couple
they're both out
easy
routes.
Interceptions dropped, though, right
one
in people's hands.
But another interception was bounced off the guy's head in the red zone. I mean, those are some unfortunate interceptions. Can't believe I'm defending the guy.
Well, he's the only reason I would give him a chance.
He is absolutely the only reason.
8 comeback wins in one season is pretty amazing. I mean, really. You got to give it up. Give it up.
Give
him his due.
Man, I don't know. You listen to sports radio, whatever. I don't understand when people call up to get rid of the guy.
Who, Caldwell or Stafford?
Stafford.
Yeah.
Because the guy's good. Just
well, who are you going to replace him with?
And then how long is it going to take?
He's above average, in my opinion.
Thank you very much.
He's serviceable.
But I used to get hit for being a Stafford hater, and my only problem was he was drafted number 1 overall, and he hasn't played like it.
Well, he was throwing a lot of key interceptions.
And I think he is. In
a lot of close games, I felt like he made big mistakes, and he's kind of turned that around. He's like the fourth quarter king now.
All right, and who was in his draft class?
In that draft class?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great question. Quarterback-wise?
Anybody, but quarterback-wise for sure.
Well, I remember that one of the big guys was it Irvin, the defensive end? A lot of people on the Lions draft him, and he went to Seattle and just poof, disappeared.
Yep.
Is it Bruce
Gone
Irvin?
In no time. Yeah, I think you're right about that.
I mean, I think he went maybe
was that the
6th overall.
Wait, was there a linebacker from Wake Forest in that class?
Maybe that's who I'm thinking. I think that might be the same guy. Aaron Curry. That's who we're thinking of.
And a lot of people wanted the Lions to take him. And he was out of the league in no time. Exactly.
Yeah, he was taken 4th by the Seahawks, disappeared. Mark Sanchez was 5th overall.
Okay.
I'd rather have Stafford than Sanchez.
By a mile.
I mean, in that first round.
Crabtree still around.
In that first round, really. Clay Matthews, B.J. Raji.
Clay Matthews has been very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and God, he was drafted 26.
Percy Harvin.
Akeem Nix was in that draft.
I mean, it was right to take him number one. It was a good,
I know.
It was a good draft pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't the best draft.
Jason Smith, number two overall, was a bust. You... Tyson Jackson was a bust, third overall. Andre Smith to the Bengals, six overall, was a bust.
Now, when was Ryan drafted?
Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
He was drafted top three pick.
Yeah, he was like third pick, I think, when? By the Falcons.
He would have been before
2008,
that.
Right?
Yeah, third pick.
Okay. So I'm like, what quarterback could they have gotten 2009 to now that's better? Okay, Derek Carr, maybe.
Prescott from Dallas?
Well, they both got the two best offensive lines in football.
Sure.
So who else? Who else will we talk about? You'd replace him.
Young quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, you got Russell Wilson's.
Yeah, Russell Wilson's good.
Like we said, similar numbers. So, yeah. Okay, who else?
Should be Super Bowl quarterback?
Alex Smith.
I think he was before.
Colin Kaepernick.
And I wouldn't take Alex
Smith. He was around.
I wouldn't take Alex Smith.
Right now?
Over Stafford?
Right now? I would take Alex Smith all day.
Let's put Stafford on the Chiefs and see. I don't know.
Well, you know what's funny? If you look at Alex Smith's stats, Drew's going to get mad when I say this. But if you look at Alex Smith's stats, the turning point was his year with Harbaugh.
Why would I get mad? Go blue, baby.
I get to roll his eyes.
Wait, wait.
Me.
But he went to the bench with Harbaugh. He started capping
ahead
of him.
But I think it's 2011. He totally changed.
No, I would agree. I honestly would agree. He had a great year. I was surprised he lost his job, actually, because he was injured. But Kaepernick, something was. It's funny how Kaepernick was so good under Harbaugh, and he's so bad now. He really, all right, well, really fallen apart.
Let's do this just real quick. Who's in the playoffs? Aaron Rodgers.
You've got an incredibly great point because the number one overall the next year was Sam Bradford. So it's probably very unfair to weigh it like that. But that's why he gets paid a lot of money.
He does. But let's do it real quick. The 12 playoff teams that we got: Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. right? Matt Stafford. Mm-hmm.
Eli Manning.
Prescott.
Yep.
Tom Brady.
Matt Ryan.
Ben
Roethlisberger. The mess that's in Oakland, which is now Connor Cook.
Yeah, Connor Cook. Yep.
But I'd rather have David Carr. Would have been a great draft pick the last couple of years.
David Carr is one of the better guys since that period.
Derek.
By far.
Yeah, Derek.
His brother's David.
Yeah.
Okay,
who bombed out.
And then... you have the mess that's in Houston, Brock Osweiler the guy who had the
concussion. Savage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all the elite guys were drafted before Stafford. So guess what? I think he kind of panned out. Is he a Hall of Famer? No. Was it a good draft pick? I got to say it was. Looking at that class.
I'm not even sure that he won't be a Hall of Famer. He'll have huge numbers when he leaves the game.
You
got to match it to the era, though.
Yeah, and you got to win
something,
man.
He has huge numbers for his era.
He does.
He has huge numbers.
He does, but you got to win something.
Well, he's got about probably 8 or 9 years left to do it.
He's a young guy.
Yeah, he's still a young guy.
I mean, Kirk Cousins this year almost threw for 5,000 yards, though. What does that tell you? He was just shy of 5,000 yards.
Stafford's been throwing for either 5,000 or 4,000 yards every year since 2011. Who else has done that?
Would you rather have Kirk Cousins right now or Matt Stafford?
I'd rather have Matt Stafford, I suppose. Really? Cousins is a good quarterback, though.
I'm bad. Include the salary in it.
I don't have to.
I don't know what they're going to pay him after this. They're going to have to pay him a ton of money. All right, so we'll see you guys on Sunday. And we'll be talking about a Lions defeat, more than likely, but maybe not. And whatever else is going on. So, Charlie, thanks.
Man.
We'll see you next time.
See you guys. Happy New Year.
See ya. Happy New Year.